We're doing Jewish history. We're up to the year 2205. So remember, Rivka sent messengers to Yaakov saying, come home. And Yaakov approaches Lavan and they cut a deal for another 6 years to work. And Yaakov sends the messengers back to tell Rivka he's going to take a few more years. And now Yaakov is 97 years old. And Hashem appears to Yaakov and tells him, go back home. Go back to the country you were born in. What's that called in English? Your
homeland.
Your homeland. And on their way out, we know Rachel steals the trophim, that idol her father had. It seems that the trophim were some kind of figurine which could talk, and they would be able to tell Lavan where Yaakov went. How do you make trophim? So they would take a firstborn human being, slaughter him, and then pull out the hair off his head, salt the head, anoint it with oil, then take a copper or gold slab and write on it some kind of secret name. They take that slab and put it under his tongue, light candles before the skull, bow down before it, and then the skull would start talking to them. And they'd ask him, and he would give them answers. And sometimes there were people who would make gold or silver skulls if they were made at specific hours, that's the idea we see also in Pesel Micha, that they said based on the constellations, if they got the exact right minute when this constellation was here and that constellation was there, then they could make a figurine that would also have all kinds of powers. So Lavan comes home, and he...
Are they describing what Chazal said, actually, that these powers are what the people believe these powers to be? Because it sounds like, you know, when Terach, you know, Abraham is saying the idol did it.
So that's a machlokas. There are many gonim that hold that the people who made this stuff were ventriloquists. They were all charlatans. Today we know that a lot of the herbs they used to burn in front of these different idols had hallucinogenic properties. So the one approach in the gonim is that it's all fake. The other approach, which is Nachmanides' approach, we're going to see it in the Torah Hashem Tmima as well. Nachmanides says no. There are forces out there which can be tapped into, and what
to that degree? That's
yeah.
Really...
So Nachmanides says yes. He says it's a wisdom we've lost. He says it is out there.
Wow. And the idea that Rachel, you said, took these, is it that she didn't want Lavan to be doing this, or did she really buy into this? It seems inconceivable after living with Yaakov all these years. But
That depends if they really had this strength. There are two opinions in Chazal.
Can one actually attribute? I mean, when you say this strength, it's like creating a life. It's more than just tapping into, right? The way it's described. I don't know. Anyway. Sorry, I
don't know if there are forces out there. If you can talk to the dead, right, and they'll answer you,
right,
which is the simple reading of Tanakh. Right. So then, okay.
The way it was made, the way it goes totally against what Hashem would expect from any human being, to slaughter a newborn.
Right.
Child.
That's not. No one said this is permissible. This is. You'd rather get killed than do this.
So,
but that doesn't mean the force isn't out there.
Okay. So if something's out there, even if it's created a way, this it doesn't seem with what I envision someone who lived in Yaakov's household, Rochelle, but what do I?
If these skulls really spoke, so then the answer, there are two opinions in the commentaries. One opinion says she took it so that her father wouldn't worship it. She didn't believe in it, but she did take it to ensure that her father wouldn't continue being a pagan. The other opinion says she took it because she was concerned that he would be able to find out where they were,
okay,
using this, whatever it was, this skull.
It's still more benign than for her own.
She didn't take it for her own. No one says she took it for her own.
Yeah,
Lavan comes home and Yaakov's not around. He goes to the Trophim. They're not around, but he has another set of Trophim. So he goes to his other Trophim and asks them, where's Yaakov? And they tell him where Yaakov ran. He ran home, and Lavan gives chase. And Lavan sends his eldest son, Beor. Beor. Who's Beor? Beor is the father of Bilam, right? Bilam is Lavan's grandson. So he sends his eldest son, Beor, who is 17 years old, with Avicharef, the son of Utz, the son of Nochar, with 10 men, and he tells them, you guys go and summon Esav. You go quickly, don't bother with Yaakov. I'll leave Yaakov to me. You go summon Esav. And they come to Esav. And they tell him, we have word from your distant relative, your uncle, Lavan, the son of Besuel, your mother's brother. Did you hear what Yaakov did to me? He came to me, he had nothing. He came to me without anything but the shirt on his back. I went out, I took him in, I gave him honor, I made him great. I gave him my two daughters, I gave him two maids, and because of me, he got all this blessing, he became so wealthy because of everything I did on his behalf. He has sheep, he has cattle, he has silver, he has gold, and now he's run away, and he stole my idol as well, he stole my God, he ran away and stole my God. And now, I left him my Nachal Yabok. If you want, you go to Nachal Yabok, you pick him up there, and you take care of him, do whatever you want. So the Lavan's son, Beor, with his men go out to Esav, and they tell him. And when Esav hears this, he gets really upset at his little brother Yaakov. And he remembers his hatred for Yaakov. Ah, he's at it again, stealing people just like he stole me. And so Esav quickly takes his children and servants, 60 men. And then he gathers the people of Seir, the Chori, 340 men. All of them go with their swords drawn, and they go to attack Yaakov. They divide into seven battalions. He takes his eldest son Eliphaz, and he puts him in charge of his children and his servants. And the other six battalions he gave in the hands of six sons of Seir. And Lavan's messengers come back to Canaan. They come to Rivka, and they tell her, Esav's headed to Yaakov with 400 men to pick him off. Rivka quickly sends 72 servants of Yitzchak's, and she sends them to Yaakov to help him out. And when Yaakov sees them, he says, wow, God sent me messengers. Who were those messengers? His mother Rebecca heard what Esav was planning, and she sent him. That's the Malachim that come to Yaakov, and as Yaakov's entering Israel, Malachim, these 72 men come to talk to him. And Yaakov recognizes them. They're the people he grew up with. He kisses them. He asks them how his parents are doing. And they tell him everything's at peace. And Rivka, your mother sent us to tell you that she heard that Esav's headed towards you. He's ready to kill. And here's what you do. We'll pick up here, Biz Hashem, next time.